turn in our Bible just to one verse of Scripture, and it ties in with the message that we were finishing off with. I was praying about the meeting, thinking of it, and on Wednesday night, we changed the last piece. Our sister Elizabeth said, "We'll sing, I will glory in the cross," and I leaned over to her and I says, "Thank you, you've just confirmed what I'd preach on." Galatians chapter 6 and the verse 14, and there we read in God's Word, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will take time just to still our hearts, please, in prayer. We'll ask help of God in the ministry of His Word. Loving Father, we thank Thee for tonight. We thank Thee for those who can sing of Christ their King. We thank Thee they can call Him Saviour. And we rejoice, our Father, that we have a song that Jesus gave me. We thank Thee it is a melody of love. We rejoice, our Father, that while our tune may be joyful, it's because our theme is Jesus. And all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, the fairest of 10,000, and my blessed Lord I see. And tonight, Father, we would be like certain Greeks in the New Testament, and we would say, we would see Jesus. And Father, we ask for the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst bring us spiritually to that place called Calvary. Help us, Lord, like the crowd, to sit down and watch Him there. Paul could say to the church at Galatia and to succeeding generations of the church, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross." To this end, Father, the preaching of the cross, which is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which believe, the power of God unto salvation. Fill me now with the Spirit of the living God, who alone our Saviour said, "He shall testify of me, for He shall glorify me." Father, I ask Thee now for the infilling and the anointing of Thy Spirit, that Christ may be exalted and glorified. We ask these things in His precious and worthy name, and the people of God said, Amen. You know, the central theme of Holy Scripture is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament always pointed to that great event when God the Son, the Creator of the ends of the earth, the ruler of the nation and the governor of the universe, would enter into human form, be born as a babe, grow up as a man and dwell amongst men, all for the suffering of death at the cross. Every prophecy has been fulfilled in the person and through the work of Christ at Calvary. Whenever you think of all the rites and rituals of the Old Testament economy, when you consider all the sacrifices, all the offerings, types and shadows, all the pictures and illustrations that we find in our Old Testament, without the cross they have no meaning. Therefore, all the Old Testament pointed to that great event when Christ would come and die upon the cross. While the New Testament has the greater privilege, should we say, it can look back to that great event, with its Gospels highlighting the sinless, perfect life of Christ, vindicating by His miracles His Messiahship, and then His sorrows and suffering, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies. And many of its epistles and its letters are given over to expounding and explaining the meaning of the cross. The central theme of Holy Scripture is the cross. Every type in the Bible finds its fulfillment at Calvary. All that is contained in the sacrificial laws that governed Israel all now pointed to the place called Calvary. God's love, God's mercy, God's goodness and God's grace have all been wonderfully displayed at the place called Calvary. And when you consider God's justice, God's righteousness, God's holiness and His hatred of sin have all been manifested at the place called Calvary. The cross, my friend, is the central theme of Holy Scripture. You cannot read your Bible, but you're confronted with Calvary. You cannot scan the pages of Old or New Testaments, but you have to conclude, this points, this symbolizes, this tells me about the cross. And you know, sinners, irrespective of class, color, or creed, have all been wonderfully and gloriously saved through hearing the message of Christ and Him crucified. The cross, my friend, is the ground and the triumph for every believer. The cross, my friend, is the joy of heaven forevermore. And I'll say this, and it bears repeating, if you miss the cross, you're lost. If you miss the cross, it's over. You're damned. You're doomed. There's no heaven but via the cross. There's no forgiveness but through the blood of His cross. There's no mercy shown from an infinite, holy God but through the cross. There is no other way God can save a lost mankind but through the cross. The way of the cross leads home. It's sweet to know, as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. You cannot get to heaven by the way of the church. You cannot get to God by way of good works. It's the way of the cross. And if you miss the cross, you're lost. Now before I continue, let me tell you what the Bible means when it speaks about the cross. You may hear, as it were, some religious jargon today that tells you of one thing or other, and you may even hear little cliches, even in evangelical circles, and you may not be exactly sure what it means. For instance, you need to get to the cross. What does it mean? You need to come to Calvary. You need to wash in that life-giving flow that flowed from Calvary's mountain. What does it mean? Because in this province of Ulster and in this United Kingdom, there are individuals and they distort, they pervert the meaning of the cross. Some feel that you can take a piece of wood or metal. You can carve it into an image and take an image of a man and call him Christ and place him upon that cross, lift him up in a religious building or church or chapel as an aid supposedly of worship. It's really worshipping the image and call it the cross. But when the Bible speaks of the cross, it never mentions the cross as the wood. The cross is the work of Christ. It is not the work that men fashion, or the word that men fashion. It's the work that Christ finished. When I say the cross, I mean you need to get to the place where you're trusting in the finished work, where you're resting on the sacrifice of that cross. So when I say you need to get to the cross, I'm talking about an experience where the work of Christ is made good to you. There's others, well-meaning. They have a cross made of metal. They carry it around their neck or on a little bracelet on their arm. They may even have it in their pocket or in their wallet. They carry it in their car as a little good luck charm to ward off evil and to bring good fortune to them. And to them the cross is just a symbol. When the Bible speaks of the cross, it never mentions the cross as a symbol. There are individuals who will carry it and lift it up high at Easter, and they will even be nailed to it, and they say it is a symbol of sorrow and suffering and of love. But when the Bible speaks of the cross, it never speaks of the cross as a symbol. It speaks of the cross as a sacrifice. A sacrifice for sin. And when I speak of the cross, and when Paul speaks of the preaching of the cross, and whenever Paul says, I glory in the cross, he is glorying not in the wood, but in the work Christ finished. He is not thinking of the symbol, but the sacrifice that was offered. Therefore tonight, what I want to do in the moments that I have left is this. Listen to me. I want to bring you on a journey to the cross. I want you to come with me as we climb Golgotha's hill. And as we stand on Mount Calvary, we are on holy ground. We take off our shoes. We stand still before the form of one who's dying, the Creator, for man, the creature's sin. And standing on the slopes of Golgotha, let me ask a very simple question and then I'll answer it. Why is the cross your only hope? The answer, firstly, because it's the only place where sin has been punished. The only place where God has dealt with sin. Now I can think of another place where God punishes sin. Hell. But I'm thinking of Calvary in the sense of God punishing forever. And His justice being satisfied forever. It's the place called Calvary. And could I say something to you? If you get nothing out of this meeting and you're not saved, and even if you are saved, would you get this? God always punishes sin. There's never an occasion when God sweeps sin under the carpet. God always punishes sin. And He does it in two ways. One, personally, on the sinner in hell. And two, vicariously. That means by means of a sacrifice punished on another. He does it in two ways. On the sinner personally in hell, God punishes sin. Or vicariously, by means of a substitute, Christ. Now which will it be? Personally. Your own body and soul in hell. Or vicariously, in repenting of your sin, and by the exercise of faith alone in Christ, you will discover all your sins have been fully met on the body of God's dear Son. You see, it's sin that separates between you and a holy God. It is sin that shuts a sinner out of God's heaven. The book of the Revelation, nothing that defileth shall enter therein. It is sin that will eventually send the soul down into the lowest hell. So it's sin that needs to be dealt with. And when you consider the Bible teaches the universal guilt and culpability of all mankind for sin, for there's not a just man, there's no man that sinneth not, there's not a just man upon the earth, there's none good, no not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible concludes, doesn't it? There's no difference. All have sinned. Therefore, all need that sin to be dealt with. But some feel their sin can be dealt with baptism. Their sin can be dealt with by confirmation. Their sin can somehow be wiped out by good works. But I'm telling you now, the only place where God can deal with sin and save the sinner is at the cross. And despite your condition spiritually as being lost and bound for hell and a terrible plight you are in if you're not saved, how wonderful the place we have brought you to tonight. It's not Dromore Free Church. It's the cross. And if you miss the cross, you're lost. The American Indians claim to be the first to ever overcome the prairie fire. And what happened whenever they saw the smoke on the horizon? They gathered themselves together in their tribe with all their belongings. And the grassland in front of them they lit. So that fire would meet the other fire on its onward march. Then they would gather all their tents, all their livestock, all their family, and they would stand on the charred remains of the fire that they had lit. And here's what they said to succeeding generations. If you stand where the fire has already burned, you will not be touched. And you know what a spiritual lesson. Because in the Old Testament, the fire always consumed the offering. There's never an occasion when the offering consumed the fire. The fire kept falling. And when one offering was offered, the fire was lit again. And when one offering was on the altar, God sent the fire again. And for thousands of years, the fire of God fell. But something reversed that, and it was the cross. Because the offering consumed the fire. The fire is God's wrath. And Christ has extinguished the fire. Because it burned on Him. And at the cross, by faith and repentance, if you'll step out with Christ, you get to the place where the fire has already burned. And you're safe. And you're saved. But if you miss the cross, you're lost. There's no other way that God can save a guilty sinner but through the cross. Secondly, and very quickly, why is the cross the only hope I have? One, because it's the place where sin was punished. Two, because it's the place where salvation was purchased. You consider that there are those today who believe they can buy their way into heaven. They believe that attending God's house, performing rites and rituals in the church, or having some ritual performed over them will somehow bring them into favor with God, as if they can earn God's favor, as if by their good works. And how dare you tell me I need to be saved? I'm a good person. Are you telling me that I'm lost? Are you saying that I am going to a lost eternity? Do you not know who I am? Do you not know how good I am? Do you not know that I can earn favor with God and by my life I can be acceptable to Him? Where do you find that in your Bible? Who told you that? Who worked that mind into your mind? That's not the mind of the Lord. It's not the mind of Christ. Salvation was purchased at the cross. Neither is there salvation in any other. That means there's no salvation in you. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's one God. Listen to it. One mediator. And if a sinner ever tries to bypass the mediator, Christ, and get to God on their own, you get the thunderings of God's law. You get the terrors of God's wrath. You get the fire of God's eternal righteous hatred for sin. God cannot speak comfortably to you apart from Christ. God cannot reach out the golden scepter of acceptance to any sinner apart from Christ. Bypass the mediator. Bypass the cross. And you're lost. Two little children lost in the city of Glasgow. I was over with Wesley Irwin. And I asked him to take me to this very spot. And he says, I know why you're going. It's beside Parkhead football ground. Celtic's football ground. I wasn't going to Parkhead, by the way. I'm going to Anfield quicker than I would Parkhead. That's how bad it is. But I'll tell you this. When I got there, we went over the illustration. Years and years ago, two little children lost in the city of Glasgow. And those two little children spotted by a policeman. He asked them where did they live and they couldn't really tell him because they weren't sure where they were. And he says, is there anywhere in Glasgow, anywhere, if I took you, you'd be able to find your way home? And they said, yes. And he said, where is it? He says, Glasgow Cross. And those two little children were directed to Glasgow Cross. And standing there, the policeman says, now could you find your way home from here? And he says, we can. What a picture of a sinner. You'll find your way home at the cross. At the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. It's because of Calvary. And salvation was purchased for guilty sinners like you and me at highest cost through the sorrows, sufferings, and agonies of Christ on the cross. Christ endured the wrath. Christ took the sinner's place. Christ suffered as the substitute. He offered himself the sacrifice for sin. In the Old Testament, the high priest offered a sacrifice. But did you think of it like this? Christ is the high priest. And he offered himself a sacrifice for sin. And God accepts you. And God saves you. Only at the cross. Not the baptismal font. Not the confirmation altar. Not by attending any evangelical church, no matter what association you have with it. Unless you get to the cross, that is, you come to the place where you're trusting in the finished work. Where you're resting on that one great sacrifice for sins forever. If you miss the cross, you're lost. One of the major cities, one of the great countries of the world, a policeman stood one day directing traffic. And some tourists came up to him and said, "Excuse me, sir, could you tell us where the public house called the Gates of Hell is?" Such a place is well named, by the way. The policeman, having been asked that same question on dozens of occasions, was a believer. And he says, "You know, you're not far from that place. In fact, just down this street. And as you're going down that street, you'll notice a little church. It's a Baptist church. It's called Calvary Baptist. Now, I just want to tell you how to get there. Just go down that street. Continue on the road you're traveling. Bypass Calvary. And you'll come to the gates of hell." What an illustration. If you miss the cross, you're lost. You're finished. It's over. That's why, my friend, you need to get to the cross tonight. You need to come by faith to Christ. You need to trust Him. You need to rest in His finished work. You need to come by faith alone to Christ. Now here's the conclusion. My time is gone. How do I, a poor, guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinner, get to the cross? Well, could I say to you, the first step, spiritually speaking, on the road to the cross is the pathway of confession. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive. If we confess, that's the first step to the cross. And if we confess, He is faithful because He's punished sin on Christ. And He's just. He will not punish the repenting, guilty sinner. But He will forgive. And there's forgiveness at the cross. I know our friends were singing that first piece, the power of the cross. And you must come confessing, but you must come calling. The verse was quoted in Scripture or in the testimony, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What a journey you'll make. What a journey you'll take when you confess your sin and when you call on the Lord for mercy and ask Christ on the ground of His finished work to forgive you, to cleanse you, to come into your heart. And could I say, you must come now. For behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is that accepted time. Friend, if you miss the cross, you're lost. Come, sinner. And may the Lord in His love and mercy and grace draw your soul to Calvary and save you this very night.